Well, we've been talking over the past few weeks, just taking a preliminary look, a general look at our vision and mission here at this church and what that looks like practically speaking, what we're supposed to do, why God has planted us here in Sonoya, what it looks like practically, what are we supposed to do with this building, what are we supposed to do with ourselves, everything about the life of the Vineyard Church we've been talking about over the last few weeks. And essentially, our mission and our vision and our mission for this place is that we are alive together with Christ for His glory. We are alive together with Christ for His glory. Ephesians 2, 3 through 5 says simply that even though we were dead in our trespasses, God has made us alive together in Christ. By His grace, we have been saved. And we are alive together for His glory. And essentially what our mission is to live, to grow, and give the love of Jesus Christ to everyone that we come in contact with, to this community, to one another, to the world. To live, grow, and give the love of Jesus Christ. And we've been talking about that for the last few weeks, I guess. And personally, I've been encouraged and energized by the Holy Spirit's life among us since 2012 began. I don't know, just for me personally, on just inside here, I have been encouraged like never before with the body of Christ, specifically the Vineyard Community Church, the body of Christ represented here. And I've just been feeling His love over us, His assurance that He is with us, and just the all-consuming fire of His love in our midst as we worship Him, as we give our lives to Him. I've just been amazed and encouraged at His life among us over the past few weeks. One declaration that was made not too long ago that's particularly encouraging to me. Some of you might have been here a few weeks back when the Holy Spirit spoke to these dead bones. To the dead bones that exist here in the Sonoya Vineyard, and he blew His Spirit into this place and said, "You are alive. You are alive. I have taken dead bones and I have formed them together. I have put flesh and sinews on them, and I have breathed the life of the Spirit in those bones." And He just declared simply that we are alive. We are alive, and it's only by His work, it's only by His voice, it's only by His breath, but we are alive. Let me just be clear as I possibly can. I love this church. I love this church. I love you people that make up this church. If you're visiting with us, I love you too. I love you too, but I'm specifically talking about the Church of Jesus Christ gathered here locally in Sonoya at the Vineyard. I love this church, and I want nothing more than to see us live abundantly, grow fruitfully, and give extravagantly the love of Jesus Christ. And to that end, I believe I was compelled personally, and the church has been compelled corporately, into a wilderness time. To a death of sorts. But the death was not for death's sake. The death was for life to spring forth. Over the past, I would say, 4 years, we've been going through ebbs and flows as a community of faith and feeling somewhat energized in the Lord and somewhat, you know, full of grace in the Lord. But there's also been some times in this faith community that we've experienced what I would call darkness, or what I would call just a kind of a discouraging spirit. And for a while, I guess for the last 2 years in particular, I have taken a negative look at that death or that discouragement or that darkness. I've been perplexed from week to week. What is going on in this place? If I feel like this, what is everybody else feeling? And I really believe that the Lord has shown me something about what we've experienced for the last few years. And it comes as we're talking about our vision and mission. It comes as we're talking about what it means to be the Sonoya Vineyard and why God has called us to this place. And it comes in the beautiful metaphor of the garden. Last week we talked about being rooted and grounded in good soil, the good soil of Christ's love for us. And I told you that I was going to talk about the good seed and how that relates to us in the body of Christ, and I am going to talk about that seed, but I'm going to take a little bit different spin on it because I feel like the Lord has shown me something that I want to share with you. We've made some declarations this morning about kingdom life and what it means to be under the rule and the reign of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've made some awesome declarations about how majestic His name is and how powerful He is. And I'm just overwhelmed with that reality right now. But I feel like the Lord, over the last few years, has purposefully taken us into the darkness of the soil. The darkness of the soil for one reason alone, and that is that we would spring forth to life. We would spring forth to life. Anybody who knows, I'm going to give another shameless plug about our So Good Garden that we're cranking up this spring. But anybody who knows about the life that exists in gardening, if you were to go out to our garden right now, you would see pretty much a depressing kind of a situation. You'd see soil, there's nothing growing out of it, there's no life there. It looks pretty rough right now. What we're about to do is to take an opportunity to stir that soil up, to add new compost into that soil, to get it rich, get it flowing, get it nice and ready for the seed to be planted. But if you were to go out there right now, you would say there is no sign of life anywhere in this garden. But the beauty of how God works in gardening and in agriculture, He says, I'm going to take a seed, a lifeless little seed, and I'm going to plant it in some really good soil. It's going to be dark in there. It's going to be seemingly lifeless for a time. But all the while, as that seed gets planted in that good soil of God's love represented in Christ Jesus, as that seed goes down into that dark place, there is life forming. And ultimately, what we see as we plant those seeds is life spurting out of that soil, a nice little shoot of life coming up out of that soil. I can't tell you how excited I was the first time I planted vegetables in that garden. We worked and we toiled and we put some seeds in there like they told us to and spaced them out. And I came every day going, come on, is there anything here? Where is it? Where is it? And I saw something pop up and thought it might be life, but it was just a weed. And I was like, dang. Every day I went out there looking for signs of life. And it seemed like an eternity. Till that one day I went out there and I saw life springing up from that soil. And I got my camera out. I was like, look, isn't it so cute? It's awesome. It's life. It's life. And I feel like that's where we've been to some extent as a church for the last couple of years. We've been in that waiting period. We've been in that waiting period of darkness to some extent in the depths of the soil, but it hasn't been darkness like the enemy's kind of darkness. It's been a good darkness. It's been a place where the seed that God has planted in the Sonoya Vineyard, the seed of the Sonoya Vineyard, planted in His love, rooted deep down in His love, waiting to spring forth life, stirring underneath there with the water that happens and the functionality of that seed as it dies, as it springs forth life from within that soil. That's where we have been. And you heard me a few weeks ago repent for negative things that I have said about this place and this church. I repented of just several things where I had come into agreement with the accusations of the enemy about this church, that we weren't going to make it or whatever. I repented of those things. But God has given me a new understanding of what He's been doing with us as a church for the last couple of years. About 4 years ago, we were in a different season, and that season, for whatever reason, came to an end. That was a fruitful season. There was harvest that happened in that season. Kingdom harvest happened in that season. But that season came to an end. It's about like what happens when our garden out there comes to the end of its growing season, and we pull up all those plants that have expired and have stopped producing. We pull them up, lay them down, or take them somewhere to compost or whatever it may be, whatever may be the case. But that's what happened here at this church. We had come to an end of a season. But God started a new season. And before He began that new season of work in us, He turned the soil. He turned all of that old stuff under, and that old stuff became nutritional value for the soil as it broke down, as it provided nutrients for the soil. It became a compost, and God Himself turned up that soil of the Sonoya Vineyard. And He prepared us for a season of life that's to come. He planted us the seed of the Sonoya Vineyard. It's a new heirloom seed variety. It's a new variety. It's a new seed. It's not better than the old seed. It's just different than the old seed. And He has planted this church in that soil, the rich, awesome soil of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ. And for a season, we have been under the ground. We have entered into a death of sorts. We have entered the ground, and life is springing forth. Let me tell you where I feel like we are now. A few weeks back when we made that declaration of life, where the Lord came in and said, "You are alive. Bones, flesh, sinews, live. Live." I can just see God in my mind's eye. I can see God stepping out on a daily basis, looking for life to spring forth in this place. Just like I did every day, looking for life to spring forth in those boxes. And that week when we declared those things, that the Lord, by His Spirit, came in and breathed the breath of life in us, that's the little shoot that came out of the dirt. That's the little shoot that came out of the dirt. And there is life in the Sonoya Vineyard today. There is life in this place today. There's a nice, cute little bud of something just came out of the dirt, the rich soil of Christ's love. Let me tell you where we're headed. We are headed to a massive kingdom bush. I mean, our mind's eye can't even fathom how big the kingdom bush is going to be that grows out of the Sonoya Vineyard. Let me just say it one more time. Our minds can't even fathom the kingdom fruitfulness and the kingdom bush that's going to come out of the Sonoya Vineyard. But right now, where we are, we have just sprung to life out of that dirt. And I just want to say that that season of death and toil and churning of our soil and the darkness that we experienced as we went into that soil was not a bad thing. Was not a bad thing. It was the work of the living God. It is the way He operates in new seasons. It is the way He takes care of business. It is not a bad thing. So I repent for thinking it's a bad thing. It has not been a bad thing. God is doing something in this place. He is doing something among us. And I'm telling you, in the future, God has planned for a kingdom bush like you have never imagined in this vineyard. In order to realize the growth potential and the fruitfulness that we are capable of, there must be that dying. There must be that dark place that we go to. There must be that place of burial into the ground for life to spring forth. Will you turn with me to John chapter 12? John 12, 23 through 26. Lord, I ask you to come. Anoint my tongue today. Lord, give me clarity of thought. Lord, give me clarity of speech today, Lord. I just ask you to speak clearly through me, Lord. I pray for your peace to manifest in my heart right now, Lord, that you would just wash over me with your peace. Lord, I pray for the hearer today, God, that you would open up our ears, Lord, to hear what it is you're saying in this place, Lord. Lord, I pray for an encouragement in your spirit today through your word, that you would draw us close to you, Lord, like never before, that you'd give us a new understanding, Lord, of how you work in us, Lord. Lord, give us a new understanding of the fact that you want us to grow fruitfully, Lord, for your kingdom's sake. Lord, we pray, God, that we would, as we enter into different seasons, Lord, we would embrace those seasons and recognize them for what you've intended them for. We worship you, God, and we ask you to put your power on these words today. Manifest yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. John 12, 23 through 26, Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Everybody say with me, "It bears much fruit." Say it one more time. "It bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." The first thing that needs to take place for this fruitful growth to happen is to be a dead seed. Does that sound like fun to anybody? That does not sound like fun. As a matter of fact, I would suggest to you that it's not fun. Personally speaking, for the last 3 years, I have not had fun. I'm just going to be honest with you. A great deal of my life has been pretty much proverbially beating my head up against the wall, trying to figure out what in the world the Lord is doing in this place. Can I just be honest with you about that? It has not been fun. I love all of you. Let me be abundantly clear. I love every single one of you. You're all amazing people. And I am honored to be a part of this faith family. honored to in some way or another advance the kingdom with you all. But it has not been fun for the last few years. And I believe that it's because we have been planted as a seed that's intended to die. Unless a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, there's no life there. If it dies, it bears much fruit. I'm going to talk to you just two specific things about this. One, for our Vineyard family here, so if you're visiting with us, just hang with me. There's also going to be a personal application of this in a minute. But the Lord has said to us, has shown me, I felt like over the last couple of days even, you have been in a season of death, not a bad death, a death that is designed by me, a death that as you are in that soil, life is happening. Something is stirring. The water comes. The sunlight does what it does. Whatever the photosynthesis process is for our church, God has placed us into that soil, into a death of sorts. And he says to us, unless you die, you will not bear fruit. But if you die, you will bear much fruit. And those few weeks ago when I declared those things by the power of the Holy Spirit that there's life in this place, I said, I'm laying down my desire to build this church. Laying down my effort to build this church. Laying down my strategies to build this church. And it's a death for me. Because I really want to build this church, but God says it's not for you to build this church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. If Brent builds this church, the gates of hell will dink and fling it from here to the other side of the world. Jesus Christ says to us, I will build my church. Jesus is telling me, Brent, die. Die. Get in the dirt. Get in the rooted and grounded in the dirt of the love of Jesus Christ. It's so warm in there. It's dark, but it's so good in there. He says, Brent, die today. Die, because you can't build this church. Jesus Christ says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But if I am not willing to die and I hold on to my right to try to strategize and build this church, we will not be fruitful. We will not be fruitful. There will be no life in us. So the Lord says to me as the pastor of this church, die, Brent. Die. Now, I know you guys are enjoying this and I'm beating myself up here. Brace yourselves. He's asking us all to die. He's asking us all to die. He's asking us to take our preconceived notions about what he wants to do in this church and what he wants to do with this place and lay them down. Get deep down, rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ, down in that deep, rich, dark soil. Get down and die. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, there will be no life there. But if it dies, life will spring forth. Fruitfulness will be our experience. We will look like, feel like, taste like, give like that big old kingdom bush that I was talking about earlier. If we get in the ground and willingly die. We are in a new season, friends. And God is doing some miraculous things among us. He's stirring. He's stirred up that soil. He has planted us in that dark soil. We are in a new season of life. You might ask me, what are you talking about, Brent, new season? This church has been in existence for over 11 years. What are you talking about, new? God is doing a new thing in this place. And I'm starting to realize that God wants to manifest himself in this place. He doesn't want us to fill chairs just for the sake of filling chairs. He wants to manifest the life of God in this place among this people for the sake of the world, for the sake of those who are lost and dying without a Savior, for the sake of those who do not know the extravagant love, the generous love, the overwhelming love of Jesus Christ. He wants to manifest his Spirit within us. And he's calling us, he's called us to, let me say, he's called us to a death of sorts. Get in the soil, but now there's a spurt of life happening among us. God has brought life into this place, and he is doing a new thing. With this new season comes new challenges. There's different soil conditions. There's new kinds of pests that come our way. In some sense, we have survived a drought. But God is doing something in us. He is sustaining us, and he is bringing forth life from this place. Not that we can grow the Vineyard Community Church, but that his kingdom will advance in Sonoya, in Coweta County, and to the ends of the earth. And he wants to use you and me and everybody in this place to advance his kingdom. Let me give you a personal application real quickly. What does this death look like among the body? What does this death look like in the church? Either this church or any other church for that matter. If you're part of another faith family, this totally applies to wherever you are. What does this death look like? Last week we declared that God has us rooted and grounded in the rich soil of God's love, represented in Christ Jesus. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that they would understand the love of Christ that was not understandable. That they would stay rooted and grounded in this overwhelming, awesome love of Jesus Christ. What does that look like for us? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, I know Valentine's Day is coming up in a couple of days, and, you know, this is like the believer's go-to verse and chapter for how we relate to our spouse and all this stuff. You know, it's like, oh, this is love. Here's what love looks like in the midst of the relationship of husband and wife, and I totally get that. I totally agree with it. But let me remind you that this chapter is smack dab in the middle of two chapters, 12 and 14, that is in the context of the church body. Chapter 12 is talking about gifts that are represented in the gathering, in the gathering of the people. Chapter 11 actually is talking about communion and how we come to the Lord's table and to join in fellowship with the body and the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Chapter 14 is talking again about gifts. Right smack dab in the middle of all that, chapter 13 comes. And I believe that it is for us today in this context. This chapter is for us. This is what it means to die. Chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Will you say that with me? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is the reality, friends, that if we are rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ, this is our experience. This is what we can expect. This is what we should expect, that love among one another, love among spouses, love among brothers and sisters, love bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't seek its own way. It doesn't envy or boast. It's not easily angered or irritable. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in the truth of the living God. It endures all things. This is what it means, friends, to die. To die to our own self, to die to our own agenda, to die to what we feel like is right for this church or any other church for that matter. It says love does not seek its own way. So let's ask all of ourselves a question. Where have we sought our own way as it relates to this church or any other church for that matter? If this passage is right in the middle of the context of the gathering of the body of Christ locally in Corinth, what does it mean to be patient and kind and not envy or boast or not be arrogant or rude? Or insist on your own way, not irritable or resentful. What does it mean to bear all things? To hope all things, to believe all things. Love is patient. It's not provoked. Love is patient. It's not provoked. The phrase in verse 5 is also rendered as not easily angered. Love is not easily angered. Love is not irritable in the RSV, the Revised Standard Version. It's not provoked. Where have we been provoked with one another? Or easily angered with one another? Where have we been irritable in the context of this body? The Lord is calling us to die. To die. If a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, if it doesn't die, it does not produce fruit. If it dies, it bears much fruit. God is calling us to that kind of death. What are you not enduring? What am I not enduring with one another? What am I not hoping for? What am I not believing in this place about the life of God among us? Love doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. It doesn't insist on its own way. It doesn't seek its own way. Love bears all things and hopes all things, believes all things. We have the potential for overwhelming, abundant growth, abundant kingdom growth in this place. And God is calling us to die. Let me remind you about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus was encountered with probably one of the most amazing encounters of the living God that anybody could ever imagine. light shining out, a voice thundered from heaven, whatever it was, I can't even fathom. Paul was overwhelmed. And the Lord said, you're gonna be used by me. He called him into this life of God and this amazing experience. But you know what happened? For 11 to 13 years, Paul died. Paul went into the wilderness. He tried to go see the apostles. He tries like, hey guys, I'm here. What do you want me to do? Go back home, dude. Go somewhere else and hang out till you're ready. He had one of the most amazing encounters of the light of Jesus Christ that anybody can say that they've had. And for 11 to 13 years, he went away into a lonely place, an unseen place, a dark place, and was being prepared by the living God to take the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the Gentile world. That's what God's been doing with us. He's been turning the soil. He's had us in an unseen place, a dark place to some extent, but he's bringing forth life among us. And he's saying, all I want you to do is just receive this death. Die to yourself. Brent, die to yourself. Church, die to yourself. Don't seek your own way, that God may be glorified in this day, that light and life may spring forth from this place, that kingdom bush that we were talking about earlier would begin to grow. So how do we do that? How do we grow? The next thing that needs to happen for abundant fruitful growth is to pollinate the righteous seed of God's word. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Can we just have a couple of you ladies right there around Sarah? Just place your hand and just begin to pray for her. And just pray for her. I feel like the Lord wants us to pray. Lord, we just ask God for you to come. Lord, we step out in faith again. We just pursue you, God, for your manifest presence in this place. We pray that you would come and just bring your anointing, Lord, like never before. We pray that you would magnify yourself in Sarah today. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just send your healing oil, Lord, in her body. Lord, give her a calm assurance that you are with her. Lord, I just declare it. I step out, Lord. I take a risk, and I step out on what I believe you are telling me to do, and I ask in Jesus' name that you'd manifest yourself in Sarah. Lord, that you would come and do a work in her, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, magnify yourself in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Chapter 4, verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. All right, I'm not going to necessarily talk about the soils there. There's a lot that's going on there in the soil. But what I want to say to you today, that our call here at the Sonoya Vineyard, the way that we grow is by the fruitful, righteous seed of the Word of God being spread abundantly among ourselves and among our community. We spread the good word of Jesus Christ, the righteous seed of Jesus Christ, represented in the word to everyone that we come in contact with. We spread seed overwhelmingly and abundantly. We don't throw seed at people, but we spread the seed of God's word. Everywhere we go, the good word, the righteous word of Jesus Christ. And it says that there's going to be any number of responses to that word. People will receive, other thorns and places will grow up in soil that's, you know, that's battling for nutrition in those people, and it might be plucked out by the enemy, whatever the case may be. But the idea is that we grow and our community grows in the love of Jesus Christ by abundantly spreading the seed of God's love everywhere that we go, to one another, to our community, to the people in Publix, to wherever we go. We spread the abundantly righteous, good seed of Jesus Christ and His Word. That's how we grow. That's where the fruitfulness goes. Did you know in that day, a fruitful harvest was 10 to 15 fold? 10 to 15 fold. And this is the kingdom harvest that God has called us to today. If you had a 10 fold harvest in that day, that was a great crop. The Lord says, spread the seed of God's word. Spread it out abundantly. Don't hold back. Just spread God's word. Love on people with God's word. And here's what's going to happen. A 30, a 60, a 100-fold harvest you will reap. We're not worried about the soil right now. We're not worried about the people and the perspective of their soil and where it is and what kind of nutrients are there or what kind of thorns are there. We are called to spread the love of Jesus Christ in His Word everywhere that we go. If we as a church are called to spread the Word of Jesus Christ, I would say that we need to have the Word of Jesus Christ. That we need to eat the word of Jesus Christ. We need to consume the word of Jesus Christ. It needs to be at the depths of our being. It needs to flow out of us. It needs to be able to be spread onto people that we come in contact with. If we don't have the word, how can we spread the word? God has called us here to grow as fruitful disciples of His word in this place. We are going to focus intently on learning God's word, eating His word, not to pass some test at the end of the age where we stand and said, God, we read our Bibles every year all the way through as a church. You know, give us a nice check mark, give us an attaboy and bring us into the kingdom. No, we're going to consume the word of God because it is manna from heaven. It is sustaining in our souls. It gives us life. It gives us direction. It gives us hope. It gives us assurance. It fights the enemy. It does all of this. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of the testimony. This is how we grow. We don't grow apart from the consumption of God's word. Jesus Himself said, I don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I don't live by natural sustenance. I live out of every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word, the logos word, the rhema word, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that's what I get my nourishment from. And from that place of nourishment, we can pollinate the rich, righteous seed of God to everybody that we meet. But if our seed barrels are empty, what can we give? What do we have to give? Let me encourage you, not in a condemnation, but let me encourage you to draw near to God's word. Draw near to His word. Consume it for life. This is not just words on a page that we can just read and go, oh, that sounds great. This is life. This is life manna from heaven. And God has called us to eat and consume and be nourished by His word. And let me give you just one last reality. Let me remind you of a kingdom reality of this seed life. Will you turn, just flip over to Mark chapter 4, 30 through 32. Jesus teaching still here in parables, and he's wearing this seed and agricultural parable out right here. And he says in verse 30, and he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." Here's the kingdom reality. In that day, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, were expecting some huge military conquest of the Roman government. They were expecting some of the kingdom of God to come in and make itself known in political stature and defeating the Roman government and placing Israel back in the place of honor as a nation. That's what they were hoping for. That's what they were looking for. You see it even in the disciples as Jesus is raised from the dead. Is it now, Jesus, that you're going to establish your kingdom here? Is it now? Jesus says, hey, it's not for me to know or for you to know times and seasons. What you're supposed to do is be kingdom people. What you're supposed to do is be my witnesses. What you're supposed to do is take the good news of Jesus Christ to everybody that you come in contact with. And here's the deal. Jesus always does this. He takes the smallest seed known to anybody, and he plants that seed into the rich soil of Jesus Christ's love, the dark, rich soil of Jesus Christ. And this little mustard seed begins to spring forth life. And it shoots out branches and it becomes a big old tree where birds can come and make their nest, where people can come and make their nest. That's what God's calling us here at the Vineyard to be. A mustard seed kind of people where God takes us, puts us in the ground as the smallest of seeds, but grows forth from that soil life like you have never experienced before, like nobody's ever experienced before. God is wanting to grow a kingdom bush in the Sonoya Vineyard. And those branches are going to go out as large as they can and provide shelter for those who need shelter, provide refuge for those who need refuge. God has called us to this place. We are that people. Let me encourage you, we are that people today. And he's called us to spread his word to everyone that we come in contact with and be a kingdom group of people sharing the love of Jesus Christ to everyone we meet. Unless we fall to the ground and die, we will not be fruitful. But if we die, we will be fruitful. If we remain in his word, as Anthony spoke earlier, if we abide in him and his word abides in us, we will be a fruitful kingdom people. And God wants to represent himself in the smallest of seeds growing into the largest of kingdom bushes. Not for our sake, not for the Vineyard's sake, but for our community, for those who are in our community that are lost and dying and need a Savior. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be a part of that kind of movement. I'm excited to be a part of that kind of people. And I would just ask you, I would compel you, I would encourage you to join with us in that endeavor to grow the love of Jesus Christ toward one another in this church and toward our community. Will you pray with me?